It's page, I have a different Bhagavad Gita than yours. It's chapter 15 and text. Yeah, but you have a different, but you can see around, I have 719 here. It's a little different. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Everyone found? Yeah, verse number 6, chapter 15. Okay. So we can repeat the Sanskrit first. Na tat basayate surya na shashanka na pavaka yat gatva na nivartante tat dama paramam mama na tad pasayate suryo na shashanko na pavaka yad gatva nani vartante tad dhamma paramam mama na tad pasayate suryo na shashanko na pavaka yad gatva nani vartante tad dhamma paramam mama. Next. Na tad pasayate suryo na shashanko na pavaka yad gatva nani vartante tad dhamma paramam mama. Na tad vayate suryo na shashanko na pavaka yad gatva nivartante tad dhamma paramam mama. Na tad pasayate suryo na shashanko na pavaka yad gatva nivartante yad gatva paramam mama. Na tad pasayate suryo na shashanko na bhavaka yad gatva nivartante tad dhamma paramam mama. Matajis, ladies, someone would like to try? Nata pasayate suryo nasa sanko na pavaka yatkatva na nivartante tadama paramang mama. Nata pasayate suryo na shashanko na pavaka yad gatva yani vartante tadama paramang mama. Na not tat that basayate illuminates surya the sun na nor shashanka the moon na nor Pavaka. Fire, electricity. Yat. Where. Gatva. Going. Na. Never. Nivartante. They come back. Tad dhamma. That abode. Paramam. Supreme. Mama. My. Translation. The supreme abode of mine is not illuminated by the sun or moon, nor by fire or electricity. Those who reach it never returns to this material world. Purport. The spiritual world, the abode of the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna, which is known as Krishna Loka, Goloka Vrindavan, is described here. In the spiritual sky, there is no need of sunshine, moonshine, fire, or electricity, because all the planets are self-luminous. We have only one planet in this universe, the sun, which is self-luminous. But all the planets in the spiritual sky are self-luminous. The shining effulgence of all those planets called Vaikuntas constitutes the shining sky known as the Brahmajyoti. Actually, the effulgence is emanating from the planet of Krishna, Goloka Vrindavan. Part of that shining effulgence is covered by the Mahatattva, the material world. Other than this, the major portion of that shining sky is full of spiritual planets, which are called Vaikuntas, chief of which is Goloka Vrindavan. As long as the living entity is in this dark material world, he is in conditional life. But as soon as he reaches the spiritual sky by cutting through the false, perverted tree of this material world, he becomes liberated. Then there is no chance of his coming back here. In his conditional life, the living entity considers himself to be the lord of this material world. But in his liberated state, he enters into the spiritual kingdom and becomes an associate of the Supreme Lord. There he enjoys eternal bliss, eternal life, and full knowledge. One should be captivated by this information. He should desire to transfer himself to that eternal world and extricate himself from this false reflection of reality. For one who is too much attached to this material world, it is very difficult to cut that attachment. But if it takes to Krishna consciousness, there is a chance of gradually becoming detached. One has to associate himself with devotees, those who are in Krishna consciousness. One should search out a society dedicated to Krishna consciousness and learn how to discharge devotional service. In this way, he can cut off his attachment to the material world. One cannot become detached from the attraction of the material world simply by dressing himself in saffron cloth. He must become attached to the devotional service of the Lord. Therefore, one should take it very seriously, that devotional service as described in the 12th chapter is the only way to get out of this false representation of the real tree. In chapter 14, the contamination of all kinds of processes by material nature is described. Only devotional service is described as purely transcendental. The two words, paramam mama, are very important here. Actually, every nook and corner is the property of the Supreme Lord, but the spiritual world is paramam, full of six opulences. The Katha Upanishad 2.2.15 also confirms that in the spiritual world, there is no need of sunshine, moonshine, or stars. Na tatra suryo bhati na chandra tarakam. For the whole spiritual sky is illuminated by the internal potency of the Supreme Lord. That supreme abode can be achieved only by surrender and by no other means. Natad basaya te suryo na shashanko na pavakaha yadgatva na nivartante tadhama paramam mama. That supreme abode of mine is not illuminated by the sun or moon, nor by fire or electricity. Those who reach it never return to to this material world. So let me see if I can find these verses. Om Agyanati Mirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Shakshurun Militam Dena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobistam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadakmayam Dadati Svapatantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Juta Padakamalam Shri Gurum Vaishnavanscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatan Vitantam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakam Vitanscha Hey Krishna Karuna Sindo Dina Bando Yagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare So Hare Krishna, my name is Mangalavati Chitra Devidasi, and I will speak something about this verse. I wonder how many of you have heard about Bhagavad Gita before? How many have heard about it? Yeah, you, I know, a bit of the new guest. You haven't heard about it yet? You, not you? Mm, you speak English? Okay. So how many, have you read the Bhagavad Gita? This as it is by A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Yeah, there are many other ones. Yeah, okay. So I just need to know my audience a little bit. And you read also? A little bit. Okay, nice. So actually Bhagavad Gita is... As you know, it's spoken on a battlefield before a big war around more than 5,000 years ago by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna. And he's talking to his friend and devotee, Arjuna. And Arjuna is a great, he's a mighty warrior, but he doesn't want to go to the war. I mean, he kind of repents in the middle of, you know, just before the battle. And then Krishna speaks the Bhagavad Gita to him because he thinks that, you know, I don't want to kill my family members and my gurus and this and that because war is always difficult, you have to kill. And he sees that on the other side are his warrior guru and his beloved grandfather Bhishma and so many other people which he loves. And then he becomes like bewildered. And that's Krishna's arrangement because he wanted to speak the Bhagavad Gita. And I was thinking actually yesterday how wonderful these Vedic scriptures are. The Bhagavad Gita is so wonderful because people can try to find what is life about. Yeah, we have asked ourselves many times maybe, who am I? Why did I take birth here in this country, in this family, and why am I suffering in this situation or that situation which I cannot get out of, I just have to tolerate it and like that. So we have many questions. And then there is so much literature which we can find in the world. There are like Carlos Castaneda and I don't know, the one who wrote this, How do you call it? Alchemist, yeah? What's his name? Pablo? Huh? Pablo Coelho. Yeah, something like that. So I was also kind of reading a little bit those literatures. But they are like, what can we say? I mean, according to the Vedic scriptures, the conditioned souls try to imitate God, and people who think they know something about spiritual life can sit down and philosophize, and then they can also try to write something, yeah? And this literature, because it's not in the disciplic succession, coming down from God, the knowledge is not coming down from Him, then this literature will always be kind of unsatisfying. If you compare it with the Vedic scriptures, like Bhagavad Gita, and if we see these 18 chapters of Bhagavad Gita, what are they about? They're actually, Krishna is actually very, very merciful. This is the God's, He's kind of giving His heart to us in this way, because He's showing how we are conditioned. And He's also showing in what way we can get out of this world, get out of the suffering, get out of the ignorance, and become truly happy, because we are all searching for happiness. That's all that we actually want, and we are searching for love, true loving relationships. And we don't want war, we want peace. We don't want a world which is contaminated as it is today, and with so many problems. We don't want to hear about in the news all these catastrophes and people who are starving and like that. We want to solve the problem somehow. And the Bhagavad Gita is such a wonderful, wonderful scripture that where Krishna is in different ways, in different, from different angles and point of views, he's just explaining, this is your situation, this is your entanglement. And especially 15th chapter, Krishna is explaining to Arjuna about a tree which grows with the roots going up and the branches going down. And he says, if you understand this tree, you will get free from the material entanglement. This tree is described, it's kind of a mapping of, you know, the situation in which we are and how we can get out of it. So it's like giving us, how do you say, an atlas or a map, showing us the way out. So the whole Bhagavad Gita is actually about that. And we shouldn't put the Bhagavad Gita on the floor because it's a holy scripture. So I just wanted to say that. So if you, I beg to all of you that you shouldn't go away from Radha Desh without a Bhagavad Gita, and you should definitely read it. So this is my humble request to all of you. It's in the shop in the BLS, and I think it's also in, I think it's outside here also, at least the introduction to it. And in the other shop also. So let's go back to the verse. yeah, I mean, these Vedic scriptures, they are really like, you cannot compare them with any other scripture in the world because it has so much detailed information, which if we take advantage of it, our whole life will change. Not only our life, but the people around us, they will also change. And the life will become very auspicious. I remember my childhood, it was very dark, very terrible. And then I met Krishna consciousness and everything became auspicious. And my Gurudev, he gave me also the name Mangalavati Chitra. Mangala means auspicious and Vati, the one who possesses. So it's incredible how one's life can really change in such a way. And that is called mercy, the mercy of the Lord. So this Bhagavad Gita is just His mercy just pouring out of His heart. Yeah? Krishna plays the flute. So His love and His mercy, it's just pouring out of His heart to all the conditioned souls, and we can receive it if we want. And I hope we want. So, so Srila Prabhupada, he's explaining here that there is a spiritual abode, and this it's explained in the Vedas how the whole creation looks like. So, and that's very interesting because we can be like fans of the scientists and look at their programs every week and listen to them, what's the news. But the Vedas, they are so old, and they already have explained it all, even more than what the scientists can explain. It said that there is like the total creation. It's not only this world, yeah, not only this universe. This universe is like a sesame seed. And there is a whole sack, how do you say sack? a big bag of sesame seeds. That many universes are in this material creation. But that material creation is only like 25 or 10% of the whole creation. So beyond this world, there is the spiritual sky. And in the spiritual sky, as Krishna is saying here, in that supreme abode of mine, it's not illuminated by the sun or the moon, nor by fire or electricity. So there, all the planets are kind of like giving out light, yeah? And if we go back from where comes the light, comes from Goloka Vrindavan, which is the highest planet in the spiritual world. And the light actually comes from Krishna's body. It's Brahma Jyoti. And he is blue. His light is blue. And that was also explained that the sky is blue because although this world is covered with many layers, the Brahma Jyoti still can shine through, and then we can see this blue color. And yeah, Prabhupada says we have only one planet in this universe, the sun, which is self-luminous. But all the planets in the spiritual sky are self-luminous. The shining effulgence of all those planets called Vaikuntha constitute the shining sky known as the Brahma Jyoti. And actually the effulgence is emanating from the planet of Krishna, Goloka Vrindavan. Part of that shining effulgence is covered by the Mahatattva, the material world. Other than this, the major portion of that shining sky is full of spiritual planets, which are called Vaikuntha, sheaves of which is Goloka Vrindavan. As long as the living entity is in this dark material world, he is in conditioned life, but as soon as he reaches the spiritual sky, by cutting through the false, perverted tree of this material world, he becomes liberated. So Krishna is explaining, the first thing he is explaining actually, which we need to know, if we want to start a spiritual life, we need to know who we are. And then Krishna is explaining to Arjuna that you're actually an eternal living soul. You're not the body. He explains that the body is just like a machine, yeah? But because of Krishna's illusory energy, we think we are the body. And that's kind of really such an illusory energy that we really believe it. If we sit down in our car, then of course we know the difference between me and the car, isn't it? But somehow we become one with it also when we are driving it. So if somebody hits the car, you say, oh, who hit me? So somehow we become like attached to it and we identify with it, but not fully. If somebody would say, I'm this car, then people would say he's crazy. And Srila Prabhupada, the founder Acharya of ISKCON, he said that, well, madness means that we think that we are this body. That's madness. So practically speaking, almost everyone are mad in this world. So it's because we don't have knowledge. But Krishna gives us knowledge through these scriptures. And when we have that knowledge, then we become like the material disease will disappear. And if we analyze from where does all the suffering come, it comes from the body, because we think we are the body, and then we identify it's hurting somewhere. It comes from the mind. We can think, I am that mind. And the mind can give a lot of trouble and a lot of different kind of speeding up or argumenting or, how do you say, provocating to an argument. So if we don't, if the intelligence is not kind of sharpened or trained, then the mind will be stronger than the intelligence, and then we will suffer. So if we have this knowledge, we can just kind of take a distance to the body and the mind, and also the take a distance to the material intelligence, because the material intelligence works in that way that it will figure out how to get the as much as material enjoyment as possible. That's the material intelligence function. So if we just take a step back and understand, actually there is a distance here. I'm not the material body, I'm not the material mind, I'm not the material intelligence, I'm the spirit soul. And I can actually decide what I want to do. I don't want to be under these modes of material nature anymore. I want to be like a free person. So then I choose to surrender to Krishna, because Krishna is in the heart as the super soul, and he is, when the heart is purified, then we can hear the guidance of the super soul, and then we will never make any mistakes. Our life will be very easy and simple. I'm very happy. So so this is very important to understand. This is the first step. I brought here a book which can be maybe a little too high for some of you, but I have to also look at the audience which we have. It's kind of mixed audience. And I wanted to read something. This is from Sanatan Goswami. He is one of the direct disciples of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he appeared 500 years ago, more than 500 years ago, in West Bengal. And he's the Yuga Avatar, which means that in this age, there is a specific way how to reach self-realization, to understand that I am not this body, I am the spirit soul, understand the connection and my relationship with God. So he gave the Yuga Dharma, which is the singing of the holy name of God. And he had his direct disciples, one of them was Sanatan Goswami, who wrote this book called Brihat Bhagavatamrita. And Brihat Bhagavatamrita is a wonderful book. It's a kind of the most, how can I say, it's such an adventure. I mean, there is no one in this world who has made such an adventurous book. It's just totally beyond imagination. There's no one who made such a book more than Sanatan Goswami. So what is happening here, the person who is the kind of, how do you say, the principal person of the story, Gopakumar, he gets a mantra. You know what mantra is? Yeah, we have a Hare Krishna mantra. That it's kind of a transcendental sound vibration which will help us to come to self-realization if we meditate upon it. So he got his mantra from his guru, and then that mantra was taking him to different places in the whole universe. And that mantra also took him out of this, he kind of gave him liberation. So he got out of this material world and he came to the spiritual world. So I will read now when he comes to the gate of the spiritual world, because it's connected to this verse where Krishna says, those who reach this spiritual world never return to the material world. So he's speaking about his abode. And we can also see that actually this is what we are aiming for, or this is what we can have. I mean, if we want it, we can have this. So people can dream about having a nice house in a good place, in a good city, or they can have a position, or, you know, climb up in the career ladder, like that. So one can dream, but that's just a small dream. The human body is like, human body is open to the most precious gifts which we can have. And if we don't take advantage of that and just spend our time on these small dreams, then Prabhupada says, then we are misers. because we don't take what we can really take, yeah? We don't use that which we can really have. Like a person who is a billionaire and he never takes out even 1 euro. That's a miser. So if a person has a human body and doesn't use it for spiritual life, spiritual advancement, then he's a miser because he actually never used that which was given to him. And that's very sad, so we shouldn't make that mistake. So let me see here, 619. So Gopakumari is telling now, I wandered alone, observing on the earth a splendor I had never seen anywhere, taking up residence in a forest, as if in a daze I forgot everything from before. In the course of my playful wandering, I came to Mathura, Sri Madhupuri. There I heard the Bhagavatam and other scriptures from the local Brahmanas. After rightly understanding the meaning of devotional service in its 9 forms, I came to this forest, and as soon as I arrived, I met my divine spiritual master. So he meets his spiritual master again. He met him many times. He appeared splendid, just as before, and when he saw me lying prostrate before him, he joyfully embraced me and offered his blessings. Thus my all-knowing master showed me his extreme mercy. Receiving his grace, which revealed to me the most confidential secrets, I followed his instructions by practicing bhakti yoga without interruption. So the spiritual master is very important in the development of the spiritual life. Yeah, we are performing bhakti yoga here, which means that we serve, we connect. Yoga means connect. We connect with God through service. So by chanting this mantra, Hare Krishna mantra, that's also bhakti yoga, to connect with God through his name. So the spiritual master gave him instructions how he could advance more in spiritual world. So what happened was that such a flood of pure love of God so quickly awakened within me that I lost control of myself. I was unable to do anything but chant the Lord's glories. And then he was singing a very nice song. Shri Krishna Gopala Hari Mukunda Govinda He Nanda Kishora Krishna Ha Shri Yashoda Tanaya Prasida Shri Bala Bijivana Radhikesha. Thus I called out to Krishna and sang his glories in various ways. At one moment I danced exuberantly, at another sobbed out loud. Like a madman, I wandered here and there, according to my whims, forgetting my own body and everything else. At that moment, the associates of the Lord arrived in an airplane to take me to Vaikuntha. So now he was qualified to go back to the spiritual world. He had kind of purified his heart, and he understood, I'm an eternal servant of God. I have nothing to do with this world. And at that moment, this airplane came and took him back to the spiritual world. They at once put me on that plane and carried me away. And when I opened my eyes, I saw that everything was different. Shocked, I returned to full consciousness and saw them beside me, the same benefactors I had met before. And then he explained how the airplane was like. And then he said, my eyes fell upon all these world, cosmic regions and covering of the universe I had visited before, and I felt ashamed. The residents and presiding rulers of those places were honoring me. Faces upraised, palms joined above their heads, they vigorously cast flowers, parched rice, and other auspicious offerings upwards towards me. So from the different planets, people were seeing that, oh, there is someone going back to the spiritual world, which is very rare. So everyone was happy and they were singing, Jai, Jai. Jai means victory. So he really, it was his victory to go back to the spiritual world. I mean, all religions are about this, going back to the kingdom of God. and then he came out of the material world and he said, there I bowed down to Lord Shiva and Uma with great pleasure, and he made me feel blissful with a flood of gracious words filled with love and respect. And then I went on to that place whose garland of glories cannot be touched by words or by the mind, Vaikuntha. So this is what Krishna is speaking about in Bhagavad Gita, that abode. Stay calm and with your eyes illuminated by devotion for the Lord. Count the waves of the vast ocean of wonders that flow here, one after another, wonders you have never seen or heard of before. Sri Gopakumar said, they went in, and those who brought him to the spiritual world, now he is kind of exactly outside of the spiritual world, outside of a gate, and they told him, just stay here calm. You will see things which you have never seen before, but just stay here. So Gopakumar stayed there. They went in, and I stood outside in the pavilion of the entrance gate. I then beheld someone coming, entering that great city. So now he sees people entering and coming out, in and out, yeah? People who are going out into the material world because they are going to do some missionary work, and devotees who come back from the missionary work, coming into the spiritual world. And 662... So he waits for a long time, and he sees different devotees who have spiritual bodies, and then he thinks, oh, this must be God, this must be Lord Vishnu, yeah. And then he pays his obeisances, but they say, no, I'm not. They look like, and they look very wealthy, and they are like glorified and like that, but no, I'm not God. And then the guards tell Gopakumar how he can recognize who is God and who is not God in the spiritual world. And then he says, as I watched those persons come and go, I thought, what kind of Lord must it be who has such servants? So you can just imagine what kind of Lord it must be. And then thus I thrilled with delight as I waited in the gateway to Vaikuntha. I excitedly stood up and sat down till the associates of the Lord returned, rushing back and escorted me inside. So finally he gets in, yeah? The amazing thing I then saw, more wonderful than wonderful, even the thousand-headed Ananta Shesha would be unable to describe, even in a lifetime of Brahma. I arrived at several more gates, one after another, and at each I was met by similar doorkeepers who allowed me to enter only after announcing my arrival to their immediate superiors. As I entered each gate, I saw the guards offer obeisances to the local superintendent, so I assumed that he was the Lord of the universe. Overwhelmed with reverence, just as before, I repeatedly bowed down and recited prayers. I passed rapidly through many districts wonderfully splendid, with all kinds of houses and gates, and then I entered the most excelled transcendental neighborhood. There I came to one palace at whose feet many others stood in attendance, a palace distinct, overflowing in greatness, where excellence seemed to reach its highest limit. Radiant like millions of suns and moons, it captured my mind and my eyes. Within that palace, I saw before me, at a distance, the personality of Godhead, Lord of Vaikuntha. He sat at leisure on the best of royal thrones, a golden throne shimmering with a glow of many jewels. The cushion on which he sat was a swan-white cotton, fine, attractive, spotlessly clean, and the soft, handsome bolster on which he leaned his left elbow and upper arm appeared like the full moon cleansed of its spots. He was the presiding lord of blossoming youth. So God is described as a young person, yeah? Like shining and full of spiritual energy, and everything is very beautiful and shining. And the brilliant effulgence of his sweet, attractive limbs defeated the splendor of new rain clouds. That effulgence lent further grace to the garland, cosmetics, and garments already graced by jewelry made of gold bedecked with gems. So he now describes the form of the Lord, how he looks, and because of there is not so much time, I will quickly go to the most beautiful of the whole of this whole thing. So he became very happy when he saw his Lord, because Krishna is, I mean, the Lord is full of happiness. And if we are with somebody who is always laughing and joking and like that, then we will also become happy, yeah? But imagine the Supreme Lord, who is kind of the source of all happiness. If we come in contact with him, then we become like overwhelmed by transcendental bliss. And this is something which we can achieve just by chanting this Hare Krishna mantra, actually, because he's there in his name. So the Supreme Lord said, now he's speaking to Gopakumar, he says, "Welcome, welcome, my dear boy. I am fortunate, most fortunate, to meet you here. For so long I have been eager to see you. For so long, hope had me dancing like a fool, thinking, perhaps in this lifetime, or this, or this, or this, he will finally turn his face toward me." So this is the Lord, he's waiting for us. He's kind of waiting for each lifetime. Will he come to me now? Will he understand? Will he take this spiritual life seriously? So the Lord of Vaikuntha, he said, "The hope had me dancing like a fool, thinking, perhaps in this lifetime, in this or in this. But I could find no pretext on which to bring you to me, to my abode, dear brother, and still follow the timeless laws that I myself have created. So God has given us the free will, and he will not touch that free will. But in the same time, he really wants us back. So what can he do about that?" So then he did something. He said, "You showed me no mercy, and as I considered this, I grew impatient, full of anxiety to receive your favor. So I transgressed my eternal code of conduct and arranged for you to take your current birth. Dear boy, in that divine district of Govardhan, my most beloved abode, I myself became your guru, known by the name Jayanta." So Krishna appeared as the guru, and this is what he does when he's calling back. He's calling with a flute, he's calling us back, and he comes in the form of guru. And he said, "Today you have at last fulfilled the desire I have harbored for so long. Please nourish your happiness and mine by staying here forever." So as Krishna said in this verse, those who reach it, who reach this spiritual abode, he never returns to this material world. So this is the goal, actually, of life. And this is what Srila Prabhupada had in plan when he came to the West. This was his plan, to help those who are interested to go back home, back to Godhead, and be happy forever. And it's not that we become happy once we are there. On the way, we become more and more happy, and we realize Krishna will reveal himself more and more and more, like Gopakumar went through the different gates. So also in spiritual life, different gates will be opened more and more as we advance. And if we just become attached to the service of the Lord, then we can easily detach ourselves from the material world. So the secret is actually to become attached to Krishna, chanting his name or the deity. We have the most beautiful deities here. To just become attached in one way or another, to be attached to the devotees, or attached to this place, that you want to come again and again. So in that way, slowly, 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 we can let go of the material attachment and become truly attached to Krishna and develop love of Godhead. So I'm sorry I went over time. I don't know if anyone has a comment or a question. So don't forget to buy the Bhagavad Gita. And if you don't have chanting beads, I'll show you, to chant the Hare Krishna mantra. You can also buy these chanting beads and daily Just try for 1 month and see what happens with your consciousness. I can personally show you, if you go and buy these beads, I can personally show you how to chant on them. Thank you so much. Hare Krishna. Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Thank you.